Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Camp. Open your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. Luke, chapter 7. We shall begin to read in verse number 11 and read through verse 18. Stand out of love and respect for God's Word as we begin to read. The Bible says, And it came to pass the day after that Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. Notice verse 15. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and Jesus delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I bring this message, a message about the miracle for a grieving mother. And oh God, I know in this very service, there are mothers that pray and hunger for your intervention in their family. Maybe it's a daughter or a son. Perhaps it's a marriage. Maybe it's financial need in that family. But I pray that you would help us all to remember that your children never have to be alone. We have a God who cares about us, one who is compassionate toward us, and one who wants to help us and meet our needs. The miracle-working God of the Bible is still the miracle-working God of 2008. And let us never forget it. Let us never be so weak in faith we think that there's no need to ask. But let us come to Jesus asking in faith, sharing our greatest burden, asking help with our greatest need. God, we know that you're able. You tell us to come boldly before your throne of grace that we might receive grace and mercy to help in our time of need. Speak to hearts this morning. Help us. And I pray especially for mothers today. If there be one mother here without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I'm asking you to save their soul. Father, if there be those here that are carrying heavy burdens in their family and about their family, would you meet their need and help lift that burden and give them victory today? Now, Lord, we need you. We ask for your presence and power in the service today. Lord, whether they be man or woman, boy or girl, mother or father, or some young person, I ask that you touch every heart and speak to every heart here today. Make a difference in our life. Do a work in us that we'll never get over this side of eternity. We'll thank you for what you shall do today in Jesus' name. Fill me with thy spirit. Use me as thy servant to preach this message, and may it all be done for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There are four things that science cannot explain. Science has never been able to explain fulfilled prophecy. Science has never been able to explain answered prayer. Science has never been able to explain the changed life of a saved sinner. And science has never been able to explain away the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I want to speak to you about one of those miracles. And I want you to know emphatically this morning that this preacher believes the Bible is the Word of God. And I believe the Bible miracles are just exactly like God says they are. I believe the Bible. Now, the story of Luke chapter 7 begins in Capernaum, where a certain centurion sent an elder of the Jews to bring Jesus to his house to heal a servant in his house. This centurion, we don't even know if he was saved or not, yet Jesus said, "I've never seen faith in all of Israel like this man displayed." And he sent him to get Jesus to bring to his house. As Jesus nears the house of the centurion sent a message and said to Jesus, "I am under authority. I'm a man under authority. And I have people who, if I say do this, they do that. And Jesus, I believe in your authority. And you do not have to come into my house. You just speak the word, and my servant will be healed." Well, Jesus stated that he had not found so great faith in all of Israel that this man showed. And when the elders returned home, they found the centurion's servant as though he had never been sick. And now then Jesus comes to another city, the little town called Nain. And as Jesus enters that little city, he met a funeral procession. And some men were carrying the body of a young man to the graveyard. And following that casket, that bier, some men or some women were weeping. And the widowed mother of this young man was following behind, weeping. This young man was her only son. A large group of people was with this woman as they made their way to the cemetery. And the Lord Jesus saw her situation. He saw her sorrow. And the Bible says he had compassion on her. Let me stop here just a moment, mother, and say to you that when that problem comes into your life and your family, so big you don't know how to deal with it, just remember, God sees it, and God has compassion on you. He has compassion. He cares about your heartaches and your sorrows. Well, Jesus stopped the funeral procession and touched the casket and said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up, the Bible says, and began to speak. And I love verse 15. Jesus delivered him back to his mother. I know this morning there are some mothers here that have broken hearts. You have loved ones that are away. You have a son or a daughter that's not where they ought to be. And your greatest prayer today is that Jesus might deliver them back to mother. Oh, my soul, what a hope we have in Christ Jesus. What a Savior we have who is able to raise up our children out of their heartaches, out of their struggles, out of their sin, and put their life back together and give them back to mom and dad to love them once again. Now, in this true story of the raising from the dead of this widow's son, Our Lord gives us a beautiful picture of the salvation of a lost sinner. And I want to point that out this morning, as well as several other thoughts from this passage. First thing I want us to do is to look at the characters mentioned in these seven verses in our message for today. Notice, first of all, the dead man. This dead man is a picture of every unsaved sinner. We see him in verse number 12. He was dead. He was being carried to the graveyard. Now notice, this was not a child. Our Lord called him a man. However, he's called a young man. Death does not limit itself to only the old. Young men and women are taken from their families by death also. May I say to you that Satan doesn't just reach out to try to steal away those that are older. He steals away our children as well. Likewise, sin and being unsaved does not affect only the older and the more mature. Young people are sinners also and are in desperate need of the Savior. This young man, humanly speaking, was beyond hope. No mere man could ever help him. He was dead. Being dead, this young man could not help himself. He didn't dress himself for the funeral. He didn't put himself in the casket. He couldn't dig his grave. He couldn't carry himself to the graveyard. He was dead. He could do nothing to help himself. And likewise, it's important that we understand the unsaved person is said by God to be dead in trespasses and sins. We expect too much of the unsaved. We expect them to know too much and do too much. They're dead. They're dead spiritually. They don't know how to please God. They don't know how to get saved. They don't know how to get right. You leave it all to them, they're going to mess it up every time. They need the help of someone that will bring them to Jesus, just like these men were bringing him to the graveyard. He was dead. He was dead. Somebody, a group of men, had to carry him to the cemetery and bury him. So it is with the lost. Someone must tell them about Jesus. Someone must lead them to Jesus Christ. And it was too late for this weeping mother to help her young son. He was dead. She wept helplessly, according to verse 12 and 13. This young man's life had come to an end. There's no profession such as a doctor or lawyer or farmer spoken of in reference to this young man. There's no amount of wealth mentioned. All of this is unimportant. He's dead. He's dead. And let me tell you, my dear friend, you need to look at your children, you need to look at your loved ones without Christ and realize that being a college graduate holds no special weight with God. Having a big bank account holds no special weight with God. Being talented does not give you special privileges with God. Without Jesus Christ, a person is dead in trespasses and sin. He is lost. He is unsaved. And does not matter that he might be a doctor or a lawyer or a farmer or a businessman. Doesn't matter that he might be wealthy. All is unimportant when you're walking to the graveyard. He is dead. The only thing that matters when we go to the graveyard, when a loved one dies, is that we know that they're saved. We know that they're in heaven. We know they've been born again. Let me say to you here today, if you're living your life as a child, as an adult, and you haven't settled this matter of Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're bringing added hurt and added pain and added heartache to mama and daddy. Oh yes, they'd like to see you in church. They'd like to see you living for God. But oh, for you to live and die without Christ brings them no joy in life and endless sorrow after you're dead. He was dead. He was dead, and this mother wept for him. She wept over him. But may I say now, it's too late for this weeping mother to weep for her son. This young man's life had come to an end. The only thing that really matters in this scene of death and the sorrow that they're experiencing is that Jesus was there. Jesus was there. Oh, you don't ever underestimate the importance of Jesus in a person's life. Don't underestimate the importance of Jesus in your home and your marriage. Some of you trifle with Jesus. You serve Him only when you don't have anything else to do. You need to make Him first love in your life. You need to make Him an equal partner in your marriage. You need to love Him first and love Him most. Marriage is not just a union between a man and a woman. It is a covenant relationship between a man, a woman, and God. Till death do them part. Oh, you need God in your marriage and God in your life and home every day if it's going to be what it ought to be. The only thing that really mattered at this scene of death and sorrow is that Jesus was there. And I want you to know Jesus is here today for you, lost sinner. He's here for you today, weary parent. Jesus is here. Secondly, I want you to notice the brokenhearted mother. In verse 12 and 13, she could only weep for her son now. Let me stop right here and say a word to young mothers. Young mothers, God gives you those children, and you've got a very narrow window of influence and training for their lives. If you have not done your job well between birth and 12 years of age, that's the primary time that you instill character and principle in their life. That's when they're bent and shaped to become the young man and young woman they ought to be. If you have not done your job well between birth and 12 years, 13 through 19 is going to be hell on earth for you. It's going to be filled with heartache and tears and sorrows and regret. No matter how much this mother wanted to see her son alive, no matter how much she would weep, it was too late for her to do anything about it. Her tears were too little and too late. Mamas, don't you waste the opportunity you have to raise your children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you waste the opportunity you have to teach them the things of God and get them in church and Sunday school and raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Don't you wait until they're a teenager breaking your heart out in sin. Your weeping will be too little and too late then. Too many parents get concerned too late to help their children. Mothers and fathers have a very small window of opportunity. Do it while you have time. And then when they get to be 13, you don't turn them loose. You keep reinforcing what you taught from birth through 12 years. You keep setting the boundaries. If you don't, they get out on their own and experience a little freedom, you're going to see just what kind of a teacher you were. They're either going to honor God with their life or break your heart 10,000 times. We must have What must have been going on through this mother's mind as she followed the coffin of her dead son? Perhaps she had put pleasure before the spiritual need of her son. Now he was dead and it was too late. Perhaps she was thinking how she had failed to raise him for the Lord. Now he was dead and it was too late. Perhaps she was thinking how she should have wept and prayed before now. But now it was too late. He was dead. Parents, don't wait to win your children to Christ. Don't wait to get them in Sunday school and church. Don't wait. Begin now. Begin today. Let me stop right here. We need to be careful about the influence of our families on our children. You may have family members that think you're too strict, that think to believe the Bible is old-fashioned, it's cultish. They're fools. You be careful about allowing your children to be under their influence. They may undercut everything you stand for and break your heart and destroy your children. They may influence your children with their words, and you'll never be able to reclaim them. Be careful. Be careful. It's a dangerous world we're living in, and sometimes the devils use those that are closest to us. Don't wait to win your children to Christ. Mother said the other day, well, said of her 10 or 11 year old child, I'm just going to let her decide what she wants to believe. You know, to be a college graduate, she's stupid. She's beyond stupid. She's ignorant. I never let mine to decide whether they wanted to eat or not. Usually don't have problems with that with boys. Girls, you have the problems if this food is touching that food. It's ruined. The juice of my potatoes ran under my beans, or vice versa. I never let my girls decide what style they're going to choose in the clothing they wore. I never allowed my children to decide whether they wanted to take a bath. And I didn't leave it up to them to decide whether or not they wanted to serve God or believe that Jesus was the Savior. I started teaching them early. It is my God-given responsibility. I am not right with God if I leave it up to them. Parents, and especially daddies and mothers, fathers, train up your child in the way that he should go. Boy, it's a terrible thing when a mama's trying to do it for God and a daddy's fighting her. Or a daddy's trying to do it for God and mama's fighting him. You just wish to throw your children out to the devil. You're going to destroy them. Parents, don't wait to win your children to Christ. Don't wait to get them in Sunday school and church. Begin now. Begin today. Anthony and Jennifer, less than a week, made sure that baby was in Sunday school or in church for the first time. God helped them to be faithful and make that a regular thing. Begin today. You say, but what if they messed up? Then try to pick them up and begin again. Don't give up on them. Keep picking them up. Keep teaching them. Keep correcting them. Keep on loving them. Keep expecting of them that they do right and they live for God. Don't set your standards so low that a dog could meet them. Thirdly, the third person in our story is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. We read about Him there in verse 13 and 14. Notice, first of all, we see Him as a man. He is touched by the tears of this weeping and sorrowing mother. He is touched. He had compassion on her. We do not have a God that cannot and does not understand our hurts. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points, such as we are. He understands. The Bible says we have a great high priest that is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He knows. He understands. He understands how we hurt, how we sorrow, and how we grieve. Jesus has suffered every sorrow and every hurt we'll ever suffer. He understands and invites us to come to Him for help in our time of need. Perhaps Jesus thought about His own mother, who in a little while would see Him suffer and die on that old rugged cross. He was moved with compassion for the needs of this mother and her son. And to this mother, the situation was hopeless. But it was not hopeless to Christ, and neither is yours situation. He is God. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior. And He spoke to this dead body. And that dead body, that dead young man, lived again. Jesus knew he'd live. He knew He had power to give him life. May I say to you, this same Jesus has power to give you life today. He has power to save your soul from hell and give you life eternal to live for Him today. And I guarantee you, just as Jesus spoke to this young man, Jesus is going to speak to somebody's heart in this service today. Someone with a broken heart. Someone with a heavy burden. Maybe it's a mother that's wept 10,000 tears over her children. Jesus is going to speak to you personally today. He can give you peace. He can give you help. And lost sinner, He can give you eternal life this very morning. In Jesus alone, there's power over death, hell, and the grave. Now notice the new man. The dead man is now made alive because of Christ in verse 15. Jesus didn't make him alive so he could live like he wanted to. He made him alive and gave him back to his mother. When He has made us alive, when this man was made alive, he began to speak. By the way, when we're made alive in Christ, we ought to begin to speak for Christ. Nobody had to beg this man to say a few words. He was dead, now he's alive. I wonder why some people who say they're saved won't speak for Jesus. Seems to me anybody that was dead and made alive ought to be willing to say a good word for the Savior. He began to speak for the Savior. Jesus is going to speak to someone personally here today, and He wants you to speak for Him as well. The new man. You say, how can I speak for Jesus? Well, the first testimony you give is in that water right there. You don't have to say it by words, you say it by actions. You're saying when you go down into that water, I was lost and now I'm saved. I was dead and now in Christ I live again. That's the testimony of the baptistry. Every new man in Christ, every new person in Christ ought to be willing to give that testimony. It's the first thing God asks us to do for Him after we're saved. And then lastly, the last group we see is the people who were around them. You know, they were concerned about seeing the dead buried. That's the best they could do. The best they could do was try to comfort this mother and bury her dead son. Now, I'm not speaking badly of these people. They were trying to help. And there's good people that want to help us. But the help most of us need is not going to come from another man. It's going to have to come from Jesus. It's going to have to come from God. And oh, how we need to learn to go to God. When Jesus came and spoke to the young man, they realized they were in the presence of God. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited His people. Hey, since you've gotten saved and are living for God, is anyone saying good things about Jesus because of your life and your testimony and the evidence of Christ in you? God has met someone here today, lost. You're dead in sin. You're on your way to the graveyard. You haven't died yet, but you're on the way of wasting your life. Jesus wants to stop and give you new life today. Jesus wants to give you new purpose today. There's someone here today that's unsaved, and Jesus wants to save your soul today and give you life in Christ. God is speaking to someone today just as He spoke to this young man and just as He spoke to this sorrowing parent. Turn your heart to Him this morning. Yield your life to the Savior today. He alone can help you. He alone can save the lost. He alone can comfort your hurting heart. Allow Him to do His work. Listen and obey His voice. Listen and yield to His will. Listen and receive Him into your life. Heavenly Father, that's our message this morning. Oh, dear God, would You speak to our hearts? There are people here today that need to be saved, and there are others that need their heart touched.